expressed during the drive time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Yeah, welcome to the big broadcast. Welcome back. Joining me in the studio now are representatives of the Citizens Council for Hamilton Township. We're going to be talking to them about what's new with the organization. They've been with us before, of course. John and Vince are both here in the studio. There's been some changes at the board. We'll be discussing that as well. And Rob Washburn, of course, who is here, as always, on Wednesdays for our weekly installment of Consider This Live. We'll be catching up with that conversation in just a moment. But first, here's Brantley Gilbert, Justin Moore, and Thomas Rhett with Small Town Throwdown. That's right. That's what we'll be talking about today here on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7.
Around these parts, ain't much to do. Sit work like a dog to Friday. Punch that clock and cash that check. Raise a little hell to Sunday. It's about that time. There's a party bang in the woods tonight. Heard it through the redneck grapevine. Keg of beer and a bunch of girls. Show enough, gonna be a good time. It's a small town thrown down. It's time to tall board up. Let them tailgates down. And then it's on tonight. Right into the morning light. Crank that country up loud. It's a small town throwdown. Dukes round here, we know how to grow 'em. Rockin' little body and long tan legs, sure ain't scared to show 'em. No, show those hunger. Somebody said them city boys ride around looking for some trouble. If they bring it across that county line, you know there's gonna be a rumble. It's a small town thrown down. It's time to talk, boy. Loud. It's a small town throwdown.
Brantley Gilbert, Justin Moore, and Thomas Rhett with Small Town Throwdown from 2014 right here on Truly Local Radio. Hey, that's probably the most appropriate song I think we've played when we had you guys in the studio here. Joining us right now are Vince McGovern and John Davison of the Citizens Coalition of Hamilton Township. And I understand there's been some changes in the board. And I guess that's something that happens every year, is it? Do you guys have a vote on, yes, on what's happening?
Once a year, yeah.
Once a year, okay. So we now have a new chair and a new vice chair. And, of course, I guess you guys just swapped hats, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
You were one was the vice chair, one was the chair, and now you're – so you're still back, you're still there. How has participation been, by the way, from the citizens in Hamilton Township? Are you guys getting some more progressive contact from the citizens? Are more people aware of you guys now?
Absolutely. We're – this is Vince McGovern here, the new chair, and we're approaching a number of 200 members and getting stronger by the day. Our executive now has moved to a number of 9 folks. And we've got some really talented people on the executive. So we're looking for a positive 2017 once this budget process is through. And we're going to bring it full scale in the next 12 months.
So who do you have on the executive, and what expertise are they bringing to the table?
Well, of course, John Davison. He's a former chair. He's now the vice chair. Larry Williamson, he's a vice chair as well. Donna Cole, former counselor of Hamilton Township. We've got Faye McFarlane, a citizen, director at large. We've got Diane Haruska, Eric Gerlaski, and that's just about it, I believe. I think I got them all. Oh, sorry, Gwen, Barnes, and Kathy Houston.
Yeah. There you are. So that's quite a crew. And you got 200 plus members. Now, how many people live in Hamilton Township?
I think it's 11,000. Am I right?
So 200, that's a pretty good number when you consider that you've got 11,000 people. I mean, 200 is probably, as far as any studies or surveys go, 200 is a pretty good representation then of 11,000 people. So you're getting some good, strong input. Now, what is it that's bringing people to the association? Is it that they're PO'd? They don't think that the council's listening to anybody other than their own voices? I mean, what is it that's bringing people to the Citizens Coalition?
Well, I can speak for myself. There's a number of smaller issues that I had initially, and you know, just the overall governance and lack of transparency and openness by the Hamilton Township. Now that's, you know, gradually improving. We've got to give them some kudos. They're doing well, but there's much work to be done. The website seems to be a big bone of contention by a lot of members and community residents. Access, easy access is really difficult. Now there's talk of some funds being put towards that for 2017, which again is a positive thing. I think the other thing too is the Citizens Council is not being acknowledged by the current staff and council as much as we would like to see. Mm-hmm. We are representing a very strong majority of folks in the community, and you know, we want to partner. We're not out here to get the council and staff on a defensive mode. We want to work with them. We want to create positive change within our community. Mm-hmm. It's a great community as it stands, but we just want to make it better.
So policy advocacy really is more of what the Citizens Coalition is about. It's not about attacking the town council. No. It's not about saying you guys are not doing the right job. You need to start hearing from us. It really is about advocacy. It's about bringing issues that, you know, at regular folk in Hamilton Township feel are issues that aren't being overlooked, maybe ignored. And, you know, this is a government that was elected, again, that, you know, everyone talked about transparency, right? Everyone, in the last election, it was all about transparency, right? It was all about having access, making sure you have the ear of the mayor or the councillors, making sure that at least if they're not taking direct advice, at least that they're listening. And have you been getting that impression that they're listening, or is it still sort of being run by as a one-man show up there?
Okay, John, I'll answer.
John doesn't want to answer. Oh, yeah, you're afraid of getting yourself in trouble, John? Is that what's going on?
You know, we just sat through some budget conversations. There was some public input, which, you know, again, kudos to the current staff and council for allowing public input. It's the first time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they're way ahead of schedule. Last year, I think we were April by the time we were getting the budget cleaned up. And we're going into another budget meeting tomorrow at 10 o'clock to have council review the final draft for approval. So, it's a positive thing, a positive change, but there is much work to be done. There's a lot of, you know, questions that we've had that, again, I think we're getting the spin. We're getting, you know, we're not getting straight answers, and mm-hmm. that's all we're asking for.
But Vince, you look at the budget, I mean, you look at the draft, and they're talking about a 2% increase. That seems mm-hmm. like a fairly reasonable thing. You look at other councillors, 2% seems like a reasonable increase. It's inflationary. They've been cutting some of the budgets. The general government budget's been cut. The police service board budget's been cut. There are a number of reductions in there, and they're following through on commitments that they are part of the strategic plan. So what's the beef?
I don't think it's a beef. It's the lack of transparency with the public. Let us know in advance. Like, for example, the roads plan. Mm-hmm. We asked that question, November 19th. What is the roads plan? In other words, what roads are going to be looked after for 2017? Well, how can you write a budget for a roads plan if you don't have a roads plan? Like, there was no indication of what roads are being done and how much it was going to cost, all that sort of thing. So these are kind of the questions that we're asking, and we're not getting real answers.
But most people, is it really that important that I know that, it's the Danforth Road that's going to be done and not Kennedy Road? Or it's going to be this laneway, but not something else. Why the interest in such detail as a sticking point?
Well, again, this is taxpayer dollars that we're talking about. And, you know, for example, today, John and I both and a number of other tax ratepayer groups showed up at the Northumberland County mm-hmm. Budget meetings. And total openness, total transparency. Very impressed by the way it was laid out by the treasurer, Glenn, and I'm not sure of his last name, but he did a fantastic job of laying it all out, describing what the projects, capital projects were going to be for this year, mm-hmm. What roads projects are underway, what's going to happen this year, what money's being put aside in reserves for capital projects down the road. Very positive, and again, in meeting the new warden, Mayor Wallace from Brighton, he suggested to me directly that, you know, he really wants to partner with local taxpayer groups like ourselves and have that openness and transparency, which I don't think we're getting as much as we'd like to at the Hamilton Township level. We're not getting the answers to simple questions. Mm-hmm. You know, there's items that are happening that we email, we call, we ask what's going on, and we don't get a direct answer. So, you know, you have to ask yourself what really is going on.
Well, it sounds to me like the new warden is interested in the advocacy aspect. Absolutely. Of all the citizen groups, whether it's Hamilton Township, Coburg, Port Hope, all the ratepayers associations. Because, you know, as we are seeing, and we've seen this across the economy, things are getting tighter, you know, and to just automatically assume, you know, there's going to be a 2% increase. Well, that's just inflation. I mean, inflation right now is 1.68%, so it's not even 2% at this point. And that's something the federal government's working to maintain. But the reality is there are fewer and fewer people out there who can afford to continue to pay 2% every single year. And I guess what the county warden is saying is, you know, we are open at this point to hearing advice and other issues rather than being an adversarial organization. You're being an advocacy organization. And I think maybe that difference has been lost on perhaps some of the mayors locally here. I know there was initially here in Coburg with Mayor Brockeneer, there was some pushback, if you will, because it seemed as though the Coburg Citizens Taxpayers Association was more interested in being, you know, adversarial rather than advocating for those desires of the local residents. But we're seeing a different story in Hamilton Township, and the membership is growing. So clearly there is a core effort on the part of citizens in Hamilton Township to try and keep those costs either at bay or to keep the increases at a minimum, while the government seems to say, well, we know best.
Well, we as a taxpayers group came forward and asked for openness and transparency from council with reference to the budget for 2017. We attended a meeting, I believe it was on the 30th of November, and the first thing up on the screen after the introductions and after they told us how MPAC works and their tax base and whatever else, the introduction was, here's the figures for June of 2016, and here's what we're proposing for 2017. So how can you base any reality facts on 2015, 2016 to 2017? It wasn't there. And that's what got the people upset the most. And they voiced their opinions towards the treasurer saying, this is not right. Now, anybody that I've ever spoke to or any treasurers I've ever had dealings with were always very open. And they would give you all the facts right from even back to 2013 and mm-hmm. show you how the budget has been placed out every year after year after year. This budgetary item that they brought forward was not in a very integral way. It was just basically, here it is, deal with it, and forget about it.
So there's a lot of missing information.
Well, there was just budgetary numbers for 2015, actually, and they didn't even include the year-to-date 2016, and there was no actual numbers, so no actual figures for the average layperson to look at and say, well, geez, how come that went up $100,000 or whatever, mm-hmm. With any explanations thereof. So, you know, that got everybody off to the wrong start. Not only that, I mean, we were given less than 48 hours to review the draft budget proposal for 2017. Now, in talking to the new warden at the Northumberland County today, he mentioned that, you know, the draft proposal came out today and it was reviewed, and the public has 6 weeks to input and ask questions. So, you know, again, there's a strong differentiation between the upper tier and the lower tier governance and, mm-hmm. and the openness and transparency. So that's all we're striving for. So
again, it does beg the question, you know, what are they hiding? Why aren't they willing to be as open as we need them to be, at least when it comes to numbers? We're going to take our first break. When we come back, more of our conversation with the Citizens Council of Hamilton Township. Rob Washburn is my guest as well. You're listening to The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat. This is Consider This Live. We'll be back.
Step into the pop confabulorium and take a translunary trip to the highs and lows of popular culture.
We'll be talking music and movies turning 20, 30, even 100 years old this week in history.
No hornswoggle or tomfoolery, just a straight-shooting bona fide critical tour through movies and music, both unforgettable and best left forgotten.
Join him,
Aaron,
and myself,
Nathan,
Saturday afternoons from 3 to 5 on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
It's fun
and educational.
And bona fide.
Come out and enjoy a fabulous movie-going experience at the Rainbow Cinemas.
Playing December 9th to the 15th. Office Christmas Party, rated 14A. Moana, rated PG. Arrival, rated PG. And starting on the 15th, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. No free passes accepted.
The Rainbow Cinemas are located in the Northumberland Mall, 1111 Elgin Street West. Give them a call, 905-372-2444, or visit rainbowcinemas.ca.
When it comes to computers and the internet today, it's hard to know who and what to trust. When something goes wrong, you could call your daughter, your brother-in-law, that kid who mows the lawn, or you could call Computer Solutions, your neighborhood computer professional. Computer Solutions, located at 208 King Street East in Colborne, is open 6 days a week. They have ample parking and convenient hours, plus you can arrange to have your system picked up or dropped off right from your door. Call Computer Solutions today at 905-355-3622 or stop by their store in Colborne at 208 King Street East. Computer Solutions, your neighborhood computer professionals.
Hey, Northumberland. Jumpin' Jody here from the Saturday Morning Wake Up. Heard every Saturday from 7 to 9 right here on Northumberland 89.7. I'd like to take this moment to wish you all the best during this holiday season and a very happy new year.
And welcome back to the big broadcast. And we do have a caller online. Great, we do have a caller. So here is Isabel. Do you have a question?
I do. It's my understanding that the townships are to be looking at duplication of services. Recently, I read an article in the paper that volunteers of the Shelter of Hope have quit, and not too long ago, the shelter was putting down cats that actually belonged to someone. I don't believe this is good management. further down the road from the Shelter of Hope, 5 kilometers, give or take, is the Humane Society with comparable services.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to having cost savings, I see a duplication of services here. If the Shelter of Hope were to be closed, the animals of the Shelter of Hope could go to the Humane Society. The Shelter of Hope facility could be sold, which would bring revenue in to the township, and taxes would be realized to the municipality. And I'm just wondering, what are the thoughts of your people doing the interview today?
All right. Well, what are the thoughts of Vince and John on the possibility of closing the? So your question is about the possibility of closing the Shelter of Hope and amalgamating those services with the Humane Society, correct?
That's correct.
All righty. Well, stick around. We'll have them answer that question.
Thank you. All right,
gentlemen.
I think that council has to look at their positives and negatives, and I believe when the caller just said you have duplication of services. We just had a committee that was struck up from the Shelter Hope once they found out they were euthanizing the cats. And I guess these people were quite upset to how they were doing it. So therefore, they formed a committee. This committee has since, in mass, have resigned.
Yes.
Why? That's my question is why. If they are unwilling to come forward and say, this is why we resigned, and if they do have problems at the shelter, then it has to be reviewed by the board. And the board should be coming to council saying, okay, we have a problem here. How are we going to resolve this issue? The citizens already tried through their committee. Now they should be coming back to councils. I know Hamilton Township spends around $56,000 a year, I believe it is, for their portion of the Shelter of Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And the other municipalities, I believe it is Coburg, Port Hope, and Alma Caldwin Township, pay their fair share. So they have to sit back and step outside the box and say, okay, is this feasible or not? If you can do it at a no cost to the municipality, mm-hmm. such as the Humane Society, then take the Shelter of Hope, give them the building as a fair gesture, and then say, okay, now you run it free
okay.
of charge.
Now, I'm not understanding why there is a difference between the Shelter of Hope and the Humane Society. I mean, they have separate mandates, I understand, right? I mean, the Shelter of Hope was founded by a group of citizens initially. It's just my understanding, anyway, to move away from whatever the model was that the Humane Society was running. Now, the Humane Society does euthanize pets. I mean, I know they do in other jurisdictions. I believe they do here. And so I'm wondering if that is even a reasonable proposal then to amalgamate the two when one seems to be more about, you know, maintaining the lives of animals and finding them, you know, decent homes, while the other one is more concerned about the humane treatment of animals. There seems to be two different mandates there.
Well, I believe they're on the same level playing field at one time until mm-hmm. the Shelter Hope were caught in the process. And once they got caught in the process, then they changed their mandate.
Yeah, but they were caught in a process because they were euthanizing pets that actually belonged to somebody who were only supposed to be there for a short period of time. Rather than having those animals go to the Humane Society, where odds are they probably would have been euthanized anyway.
Well, that's all part of their policy and procedures. That's something that has to be reviewed by the board.
So, to the point,
you were interviewing Mr. Sherwin, Councillor Sherwin from Coburg on Monday, and he was talking about this, and he was actually part of this process. It's mm-hmm. my understanding that there was it's a very old debate that goes back about euthanizing animals and not.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a group that, as you described, this was their feeling, and I know that there was some turmoil around that. And it was my understanding, listening to Mr. Sherwin on your show on Monday, that this has been resolved, and that there was this walkout quite some time ago, actually. It's not even recent. And that it was some miscommunications between staff and the board, and et cetera, and now this is all gone. But I step back a bit further and just say this. I remember as a reporter when the Shelter of Hope was formed, and up until that point, the Northumberland Humane Society had been did the animal control and held the contract. And the Shelter of Hope, I think one of its goals in its creation was to take away that contract. And I'm not quite sure of who some of the founders were, but the people behind it were very anxious to get control of this. So, I understand too from some sources that there was some conflicts of interest, possibly because mm-hmm. of what was going on. But anyway, the shelter got created. I'm not sure who was behind it, but it got created. They won the contracts, and they've held the contracts since. I think it'd be interesting to see what would happen if those contracts were opened up and tendered as a contract should be. Rather than just always granting it to the same organization.
But to the caller's point, though, I mean, she was saying, well, it sounds to me like we have two organizations that are both being paid for by county representatives, each township paying their portion of both the Humane Society and the Shelter of Hope.
That's not
so she's saying, well, that, this is what she was asserting, that there was a duplication, if you will, of services, and why wouldn't we just roll them into one?
I don't think the Humane Society is not paid for by the municipalities. The Shelter of Hope is. What is duplicated is that we have two shelters that are meant to look after animals.
Okay.
And I think that's what her point is that if we have, why do we have two? We could have one.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
They could do it all.
So again, to that question, then why do we have two? And would it not be just as easy for us to, because as you said a moment ago, and obviously I stand to be corrected, the Humane Society isn't funded by the county. It's funded through, obviously, donations and memberships.
Yeah.
So that we could definitely remove that portion then of municipal budgets by getting rid of the Shelter of Hope and just simply letting the Humane Society do the job. Is that something that is, I mean, that's what she's putting forth. This is the idea. Is that something, do you think, the township would even entertain?
See, when you look at shared services in the Northumberland County, it seems to me to be a perfect lead-in to I mean, all the municipalities use this shelter and this Humane Society. So You've got two different boards, you've got two different executives, two different staff. There seems to be a great deal of duplication there. Why not bring it all under one roof and make it a centrally located something run by the Northumberland County? That would resolve the issues.
I think we need to be specific too, because what we're really talking about here is animal control. These places run; they take in animals, they house them, and then you can
adopt them, or otherwise, if you can't do it within a certain amount of time.
Yeah, it's all that. What we're really talking about is animal control: the ability for people to phone up and say, "Hey, there's a dog wandering, come and get the animal," or whatever. Mm-hmm. I believe that's the service that gets contracted out. I don't think it goes beyond that.
Well, we do have another caller online, and same issue here. So let's take the call, Deb.
Hi there. So because the Shelter of Hope was initially going to be housed in a building just down the road from where I am, I was right there with the meetings, all of them. So initially, before the Shelter of Hope was created, which I believe was supposed to be a total zero-kill facility,
Right. Which
to me, I want to say right off the bat, sometimes animals need to be euthanized. Sometimes they are beyond repair. Sometimes they need to be put down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Sure.
So having a zero kill policy is not very realistic. It may sound really nice, but it's not realistic right off the top. So the original building, this service is actually supposed to be for the county. It was originally in Castleton at a kennel down there. The people who ran it lived above the building.
Mm-hmm.
There was a personality conflict, as I understand it, with Mayor Lovshin, who was not Mayor Mark at the time. And the property where the Shelter of Hope was built was actually, as far as I know, owned originally by the Lovshin family. And brought from Castleton, which is in the other end of the county for the most part, down here right smack up against the Humane Society, which was not logical.
So were the two originally then supposed to operate sort of simultaneously then? One would be a facility for no-kill, and then once they reached the age, I guess if once they were aged out, they would then be shipped off to the Humane Society, so the Humane Society could do the killing then?
No, zero connection between the two.
Okay.
Like, they are separate entities completely. The Humane Society is the Humane Society. It's been around forever. The Shelter of Hope, like I said, was created when they took the services away from the people in Castleton who had the contract for the county and gave it to whomever has it now.
Okay.
So that building was built there specifically for that purpose. That's the only reason it exists.
Okay.
Why the heck they put it up this end when the other one was in Castleton and there, you know, like there wasn't a lot of people around there, you know, it was already there. They lived there. Like there was always someone there to handle an emergency if something happened.
Okay.
So, you know, and they were the dog catchers. That's what we used to call them, dog catchers. Okay, so animal controls, dog catchers.
So to the point that the previous caller made, should we just close down the one and let the other take care of it then? Or?
Well, what are you going to, supplement the Humane Society then? Because like I said, they are not connected. Humane Society runs on donations.
Yeah.
Right? It, as far as I know, it's not supported by the county.
No, but apparently
I might be wrong. I don't know.
Apparently it's not.
No.
But what we're talking about, what the previous caller said was, well, we could save a bunch of taxpayers' dollars by not funding the Shelter of Hope and by simply letting the Humane Society take up that responsibility.
Yeah, but is that fair?
Fair.
I mean, you're going to shovel, like I said, it was always the dog catcher. This is a county responsibility. It has always been a county responsibility. Why should we take money from there and then, like, you can bet your patootie that it won't go where it's supposed to go if they did do that. I mean, the Humane Society doesn't have the, it doesn't have the space, it doesn't have any of the money, it doesn't have any of the, it doesn't have enough stuff to run what it's got now, never
sure.
mind.
So what's the solution then?
Number one, make sure that you're running the thing properly and put it back in the hands of somebody that knows what they're doing.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call, Deb.
You're welcome.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you go. So two different or juxtaposed positions then on what we should do with the Shelter of Hope or what we shouldn't do with the Shelter of Hope. Rob?
Yeah. So I guess I'm still curious about this 2% increase. And we're talking about an inflationary increase. I think there's lots of detail in this budget, and I'm curious why not just proceed with the information we've got.
Okay. So, you know, we're not advocating for, huge tax increases. Ideally, we'd like to see a zero or a decrease in taxes. But is that realistic? You got to be realistic. You got to look at increases in expenses and capital projects, which, you know, the Hamilton Township now is starting to look at in a bigger way.
Mm-hmm.
As of today, in review of the Northumberland County capital expenditures and their tax levy, it's notable that they're looking towards the 10-year mark to look at the Golden Plow addition and the Campbellford Bridge. So they're putting money aside for that particular those particular projects. Hamilton Township, I think, has to do the same thing. And to that effect, I believe we found out that there's $6.9 million in reserve at the Hamilton Township in the form of 96 bank accounts. Yeah, which was kind of shocking to myself, just in the sense that, you know, how do you look after 96 bank accounts effectively, reserve bank accounts?
Mm-hmm.
So apparently that's going to be pared down now to about 42 accounts, which is, you know, that's great. And hopefully there's a savings there just in bank account fees alone.
Sounds to me, though, if I can interject here for
sure.
A second, it sounds to me like you're happy with what the county is doing because they're actually providing a step-by-step approach to here's what we need, here's how much it's going to cost, here's the projected inflation rate on that. Ultimately, down the road, this is what the life cost is going to be. But with Hamilton Township, you're being told it's going to cost this with no supporting or ancillary documents that would show why those increases are there. We're just being told it's going up by 2%. Well, why is it going up by 2%? At the county level, you're being told, well, yeah, there'll be an increase, but there's going to be an increase based on this, this, and this. Therefore, we are going to have this as the final number. In Hamilton Township, it sounds to me like you're just being told, here's the number.
But I'm also confused by the fact that, you know, you talk about the roads budget. It's a $3 million budget, and it makes sense that it's one of the largest areas of expenditure that takes place. But when you look at something like the police budget, I don't hear you guys saying too much about that, and yet that's a $1.4 million expenditure and probably the second largest expense that the township faced. So maybe when we come back, could we maybe talk a bit about that?
Absolutely.
Sure. Absolutely. When we come back, you're listening to The Drive Time on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Northumberland 89.7 is radio to go. Listen to us on your smartphone wherever you are. Just go to Northumberland 89.7 and download the TuneIn app.
They called us slackers and cynics, adrift and apathetic. But you and I know we are much more than that. Join me every Thursday night at 7 p.m. for Deconstructing X, the musical story of a generation. Each week, we'll look at the events that influenced the music of Generation X and how the music influenced events. Deconstructing X, Thursday night at 7 p.m. on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Hi, it's Debbie from Beachcomber Hot Tubs. Beachcomber is now your source for helium balloons. We have balloons for any occasion, from Christmas parties to baby showers, birthdays, anniversaries, and more. Our helium balloons are an easy decorating idea to make any get-together more festive. And we can even wrap your special gift inside a balloon for an extra surprise. Beachcomber, 985 Elgin Street, West Cobourg. Beachcomber, connecting family, friends, and loved ones with balloons.
How is Northumberland 89.7 truly local radio? We reflect the diverse interests of this area with unique and varied programs hosted by people who live in our community. Check out our complete programming schedule at Northumberland89.7.ca.
And welcome back to the big broadcast. Joining me in the studio are Vince McGovern and John Davison of the Citizens Council of Hamilton Township. The phone's ringing off the hook today. Thanks to all the callers. By the way, Deb had one more question. She said you guys were given 48 hours, basically. What's with the rush? It's almost like an omnibus bill.
That's a good question. We'd like to refer that question right back to council and staff. We're not really sure why we're not being given a proper amount of time to review. That's as much as I can tell you there. I think maybe the next time you have the CAO on, you can maybe ask him that question.
Yeah, why the short time frame, right? We do have one more caller online before we get to that last question regarding the Police Services Board. So we'll be taking here's Ed. Ed, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Just a bit of a comment on the 2% thing. Like, we go back to the fact that there's one taxpayer, right?
Right.
So now I'm paying 2% more for Hamilton Township. Mm-hmm. I'm paying 2% more for Port Hope for my business. I'm
right.
And 2% more for my house. I'm paying,
plus the 2% at the county.
And 2% at the county,
right.
And probably the Board of Education, they're going to want 2%.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's not 2%. That adds up to a lot more than just 2%. So that's why I think these groups are, keeping an eye on things. I think it's important that they know whether the roads are getting done or, all mm-hmm. this other stuff. It's just that, 2% doesn't sound like much, but when you add it with the number of 2% that you're mm-hmm. getting, ding for it, it adds up to a lot. And I didn't hear the whole comments on the Shelter of Hope, but as far as I understood, maybe you've already talked about this, but the Humane Society and the Shelter of Hope have two completely different
mandates.
Mm-hmm. The Shelter of Hope is more of a bylaw thing, where the contract is out for the bylaw officer, and I believe they take in all the different counties that are in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So stray dogs and all that kind of animal control problems. Whereas the Humane Society doesn't do that. They don't. They'll go out maybe for. And I'm not sure that the one in Port Hope does, but they'll go out for animals that are in distress and the biggies. But I think, just for your local dog walking around, that's bylaw. That's
right.
That's a different mandate.
And that's the Shelter of Hope's wheelhouse, I guess.
Yeah, that's what they do, as far
right.
as I know. Now, the group that retired en masse there, as I understand it, they were set up as an ad hoc committee.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And does ad hoc committee not mean one thing? Like, they're there for a specific purpose. And once that purpose has been done, then the committee's over. That's it. It's done. It's done. It's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they were there after the hassle with the euthanasia. But it's like somebody else said earlier, sometimes you can't have 47 cats in cages.
I think ultimately sometimes you're right, unless there are people out there who are just willing to just take those animals.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Ed.
All
appreciate
right.
it.
Bye.
Well, there you go. He raised a couple of really good points, because, again, an ad hoc committee is, by definition, just a committee around as long as an issue is an issue. Once the issue is resolved, see you later. We're going home. And, it sounds, I guess, not as committed as some people would want, but the reality is that was their job. Their job was to solve that one issue, and it sounds to me as though they may have done that. A lot of that had to do with, as Mr. Sherwin said on Monday, though, a lot of that had to do with communications breakdown
yeah.
between that group
or between the board and the staff at the shelter. And once that communication a bridge had been rebuilt, if you will, to use the Camelford Bridge as an example, the problem then is resolved. And hopefully we won't have another issue like that with the gentleman and his 10 cats.
Dave, I hope we can get the animal shelter to come on, the Shelter of Hope to come on the show maybe in the new year.
It would be nice.
Talk about that. I'm sure people would enjoy that. But I'd like to get back to the police because we were talking about sort of big pieces in this puzzle. And we've talked about the roads, which is the largest piece. And then there's the next largest piece is the police service budget. So maybe how come we're not focusing on that today?
Well, if I can be quite frank with you, the provincial government governs the policing service for the province is your OPP. Municipal policing is entirely different. It's run by the municipality. The municipality has a board which sits down and says, okay, here's your budget. Give us your wants and your needs, whatever else. Here's your budget. Live with it. Well, provincially, they come down with their own budget. They have their own people sitting up there in Queen's Park, and they're sitting there and they're with their sharpened pencils, and they say, okay, this is what's going to cost the municipality of Hamilton Township X number of dollars for policing 24/7 to have one officer dedicated to Hamilton Township. And from there, you're given your bill, and that's the bill that they come up with.
But I'm sorry.
It's down this year with it was last year, but the fact is the police service board is there, but they don't have any real say over how much money is going to be.
And that's because you're policed by the OPP rather than a smaller service.
So what's the function of the board? Because I do see here that they have a line item in the budget, and I do know there's a committee, and it's an active committee. I believe you sat on that committee.
Yes,
I
did.
So, I mean, why were you going out to the meetings then? I mean, you must have been doing something to go out.
You're always there at the meetings. You have updated reports from your commanding officer from the OPP. So therefore, you sit down and if you have a problem area in the township, you can ask for assistance in resolving that problem in the township if it's for speeding or multi-accidents at intersections, whatever. But there's a cost to that. If it's going to cost the OPP to have an officer go out there designated to say, okay, I'm going to sit here for 24 hours and watch the intersection, you'll pay extra for that. Unless the officer is just out on patrol and says, okay, I'll just maybe sit here for an hour and then report back to the police services board that, yes, I was there for an hour and there's no accidents or no infractions. But the problem is that if they're busy and you only have one officer dedicated to the township at that given time, you're not going to get those extra patrols in that area that you want. So therefore, you have to ask for update or upgrades to your contract saying, okay, we'd like to have dedicated officers for certain things. That will cost the extra money. So this is a bare bones budget that they bring in from the OPP. If you want any extras, your extra little frillies, then you're going to pay for it.
So if I have a grow op in my cornfield, is that extra cost to come out and investigate that?
I believe they call their special unit in that comes out and investigates that, the drug unit, and they'll come out in your field. I'm not too sure if that's an extra cost to township or not. I don't believe it is. I think it's just a thing where they travel around from every municipality doing their so-called drug surveillance, and then they come in and they just extricate the product out of the fields and get rid of it.
But what about investigations, if there's a major crime or something like that?
Then I think that's a bill that you'll get from the
So basically,
so don't get murdered in Hamilton Township.
Pretty well.
Okay.
So, well, it sounds to me like you guys have basic policing, i.e. we got a contract where an officer will patrol the community, or we'll have officers patrol the community, rather, for 24 hours a day. This is what it costs, baseline. But it sounds to me like if they have to actually do anything, it's going to cost more money.
Yes.
That's you guys might as well have a private security company. I mean, it's to me, that just sounds absolutely ridiculous. You've got a police service that basically has a job where it drives around monitoring to make sure that things don't, go hinky. But if something does, guess what? Here's the bill for that.
That's correct.
I mean, that sounds just insane.
But wasn't it Hamilton Township? They didn't want to get in with either Port Hope or Colbert.
Well, they had Colbert
for police right? service.
That was an issue that was beyond the control of the citizens of Hamilton Township. That was all political.
Okay.
So I don't really want to get into that because that is something that was between certain parties and they dealt with it. So that's why Colbert was exempt from Hamilton Township.
You say they dealt with it, but it doesn't sound to me like they actually dealt with anything, to be frank with you. We're gonna take our next caller and welcome to the line. What's your name again, sorry?
Carrie,
welcome to the show, Carrie.
Oh, thanks. I have a question to you, John. So recently there was, and no disrespect to this annual tradition in Camborne, but there's the Bethlehem Walk. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do, yes.
Okay, so there were OPP officers that were conducting traffic for 3 days. So does that mean that Hamilton Township taxpayers are paying extra for that service?
I believe at that time, if I'm not mistaken, they are auxiliary officers, and auxiliary officers do this for $0. They're there for to gain the education on policing. So therefore, they're there just as themselves with a cruiser. They're allowed to take the car out, and they do the traffic patrols and get the people across the road.
Oh, so that's an educational training tool. I just find that really kind of a waste of our valuable time that police officers should be, you know, policing the roads rather than directing traffic. But that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't cost anything apparently either. So,
well, that's good to hear. I was thinking if it did cost, mm-hmm. I mean, that should be taken into consideration. But if it's not costing anything, then I guess there's no harm.
Well, and thanks for clarifying that for us, too, because I think a lot of other people were wondering, well, if everything costs money for an officer to attend, then clearly this is something that would. But thanks to John's clarification there, these are auxiliary officers who are doing it as part of their training and also out of the goodness of their hearts for the most part. Thanks,
well,
Carrie.
That's good to hear. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'd like to get back to this 2% and what can be done about the 2%. You seem anxious to get the best bang for the buck. So what are you suggesting needs to be done here?
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this break. This hour is going by quick, folks. We will get an answer to this 2% question right after this.
Hi, I'm Victor Svenningson, and I get to work behind the scenes at your best local radio station, Northumberland 89.7, and I'd like to wish you and your family the very best of the season.
Hi, this is David.
And Daryl from Northumberland 89.7.
We are proud to announce that in conjunction with Cornerstone Family Violence Prevention Center, our first annual toy and gift drive.
Hey Dave, how do people help with this great cause?
Well, it's simple, Daryl. Just bring any new unwrapped toy or gift to the station at 1000 Elgin Street West during business hours or anytime to BodyLogic's Fitness at 726 Ontario Street in Coburg. Spark Smart Toys for Cool Kids at 30 King Street West in Coburg or Ed White's Appliances at 51 Mill Street in Port Hope by December 20th.
What about gift cards, Dave?
Absolutely, Daryl. Those are essential.
At this time of year, let's help do our part in making this Christmas season a merry one for everyone. The Northumberland 89.7 Toy and Gift Drive in support of Cornerstone Family Violence Prevention Center.
Kingsmill Kitchens guarantees interior design expertise, attention to detail, and dedication to quality workmanship. To freshen up your kitchen for Christmas or to plan a project for the new year, we have the design experience and the commitment to make your dream a reality. Our award-winning, certified designers and team of expert local tradesmen use the best products and materials, including ferro and ball paints. Make the wise choice. Visit Kingsmill Kitchens at 64 Walton Street, Port Hope, or kingsmillkitchens.com.
Hello, Northumberland. This is Dave Glover, the host of your Drive Time show. On behalf of my family and our friends here at Northumberland 89.7, we'd like to wish you a very happy, healthy, and festive holiday season and a joyous new year. Thank you for listening to Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Do you like helping out the community? Why not come and volunteer with us here at Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio?
Well, we call it the fastest hour on radio, and it sure as heck is. 7 minutes left. Rob, I know we want to get an answer to that question. The 2%, gentlemen?
That's a great question.
it still is, yeah.
Yes, it is still a great question. 2%, well, again, it's right now it's a, you know, it's a figment of everyone's imagination. It's a number they're trying to shoot for that's... As I heard today from the Northumberland County, the percentage increase is something that's worked on a day-to-day, month-to-month, quarter-by-quarter basis. And it's, you know, the number is what they're trying to achieve, is a 2% or less, or a zero, it would be great. But it's something that they're working towards.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, the cost of inflation, all that sort of stuff.
Well, we hear that at the county level.
Yeah.
That's been explained.
But. And that's the same. And, you know, all our mayors from the municipality sit on the county. So, you know, Mayor Levshin in particular, with regards to Hamilton Township, I mean, that's what he's shooting for as well. He's shooting for you know, a 2% or less increase.
But Vince, Ed was just called in, and he made a very eloquent argument about there's only one taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a lot of sense. A lot of people feel that way. And yet at the same time, when we don't see increases, we see cuts to service.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is that all of a sudden your road's not being plowed. All of a sudden, the ditch isn't being fixed. That you know, I need a building permit, but it takes months to get it. So we see a decline in services. So I guess the question comes down to, if you're going to say, what about this 2%? I mean, where do you guys want the cuts? Why do you want these cuts? I think we need to get down to it. Because as far as it goes, you look at that on the surface. Other than the fact that you don't know exactly what road goes, what's so wrong with a 2% increase as it's being presented then?
Well, as our caller before said, 2% here, 2% there, it all adds up, right? And
But then when you don't have a plow, or you can't get a building permit in a hurry, or you can't get a development approved in a timely way, and we're going to walk away from this investment.
I live in the Hamilton Township. There absolutely. Is absolutely no shortage of plows running up and down a dry surface. And I, you know, that's something I'm working towards right now to understand.
But you know my point. It's just the same theoretical point that Ed's making, which is there's only one taxpayer. And I respect that argument, and he makes it very, very well.
I think the biggest thing, Rob, is the fact that, you know, we're asking questions because we're uneducated in the sense that we don't understand what makes up that number. And when you get the spin, I call it, rather than a direct answer, what are the roads that are being done to add up to $3.5 million worth of a budget here? And I'm just, you know, approximate numbers here. But if you don't get those answers, well, then you start to wonder, what is going on here? Why are we not answering those questions?
But what are
questions?
You proposing on your side to make a difference? That's what I'm wanting to know. I get the fact you don't have answers, but what are you proposing to make a difference?
That's a good question.
I believe when it comes right down to it, Rob, it's openness and transparency.
Mm-hmm.
As we said at the very beginning here, we went to that at the budgetary meeting and they only gave us June of 2016 figures, and all of a sudden here's the 2017 figures. There was no escalation from 14, 15 to 16. Now we're asking this for 17. So there's no comparatives. So when you don't have comparatives, it leaves you in a blank zone where you don't know what question to ask and you don't know where the township's coming from. It's like if you look at this proposed budget, Public Works is down 1.4%. In other words, you're going to save $44,724. Mm-hmm. There shouldn't be any savings in the roads department to say we're down this year by $44,000 and change. They should be taking that $44,000 and saying, okay, we're going to apply that to this road this year or two roads, whatever it may be. There shouldn't be. It's the highest category it's in the Hamilton Township for costs.
All
and
right.
Those costs should be put to the public roads where the money should go.
So here we go. So put then that would mean 1.4% on the bottom, which would mean a 3% increase. Or would you favor a 3% increase if you were to have that $44,000 invested in the roads that you want?
Yeah, but there's other savings, Rob. If you really look at this documentation, there are other savings. We're going to have a budget meeting. There's going to be a budget meeting tomorrow at Hamilton Township. You'll notice in there, and if you go back to the last regular council meeting where they passed the Cold Springs minutes,
mm-hmm.
and in those minutes, Mayor Lovshin says, oh, by the way, they're looking for $10,000 for replacement of what?
Mm-hmm.
So they talked about fridges and stoves and small appliances mm-hmm. and whatever else. They voted on it right there. Without even going to the budgetary process, they voted to give Cold Springs Hall $10,000. And now I see they're going to give them $3,000 for their reserves. Is that fair to the citizens of Hamilton Township to know that $10,000 automatically goes to a citizens group in regular council without going to the budgetary process and discussing it openly in the public view, saying, okay, do we or do we not do it? It as far as I'm concerned, it's a wonderful thing because now treat all other, whether it be private halls or other halls in municipality, treat them the same way and give them the $10,000 to say, go ahead, and here you are. I'm all for that. Don't give one group some favoritism over another group. That's where I'm coming from in this whole budget process. It has to be more open and more transparent. And for us to go and sit there tomorrow, we're going to listen, but we have no input. We tried to have input very beginning, but you didn't have your comparators. We gave them our concerns. They came back and they gave us their answers. And as far as I'm concerned, is like Vince has referred to it before, it's a lot of spinning around.
And on that note, we're going to bring it to a close. I want to thank everybody for joining us today. Vince McMahon and John Davison as well, of Citizens Council of Hamilton Township. Rob Washburn, of course, for our weekly installment of Consider This Live. Thanks to all the callers as well. And we know you're listening out there in Hamilton Township. Thank you so much. Here's Madman's Angels, Green Hills of Northumberland.
Good question, Rob. Sorry.
And just a reminder, folks.
I've seen the city.
You're listening to The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat. Just to let you know, folks, we don't write the world here at Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7, but we do read it. I'm Dave Glover. I'll be back tomorrow.
Just to see what I could find. But never have I found such peace, no matter where I roam, as in the green hills of Northumberland, the place that I call home. The way the waves fall on the sandy beach, the boardwalk full of smiles, the shades of green along the countryside, the hills go on for miles. And everyone you come upon will smile and say good day. You're in the green hills of Northumberland, and you're gonna wanna stay. The market bustling with artist wares, and the farmers bring the best. The smell of fresh baked bread flows through the air. And